You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Tuesday, December 20th, so happy holidays, everybody. I have been in a baking frenzy, which of course is very difficult to combine with a practicing frenzy, which is what I have not been in. I have not been in a practicing frenzy. This is just really more of an excuse than anything, but I actually cut my left hand fourth finger, opening up a can of steel cut oats that had like knife-like metal covering on the inside. It's just like a paper cut. It's fine. It's just taken a couple of days to heal. But my left hand fourth finger is pretty important in a lot of these pieces, which I'll get into in a minute. Anyway, so I have been more baking than I have been practicing, and of course it's the holidays, and I've just decided to be at peace with that. So I am at peace with that for the most part. But I just gave a lesson to a student who's working on 25 number one, Chopin Etude 25 number one, by the way, which is this one. So I have not actually been practicing on this very much. She's been doing much better work on it than I have. But I told her a couple things that made a big difference in her playing and that are going to really, really help her if she works on it over the next week. And so, of course, there are things that I need to make sure that I do in my own playing. So I'm going to tell you now what these little tricks, or they're not little tricks, they're actually kind of what I think the etude's trying to teach, are. So one of them is... it's really easy to have your shoulders kind of go forward and hunch forward and pull out of their sockets, kind of. I was talking a little bit about this last week. And if you actually make sure that your shoulders go where they live, it feels totally different. So this is with my shoulders where they live. Or I guess my shoulders in their sockets rather than out. And this is with my shoulders sort of forward. So I don't know if you hear a huge difference, but for me, the way with my shoulders in feels a ton better than the other way, which is important. But the other thing is it feels much easier to control the voicing, you know, which notes are louder instead of, right, this isn't voice at all. So one thing that I think is really important is putting the shoulders in the sockets where they live. Another thing that's really, really important in this piece is arm circles. This is almost symmetrical motion, right? Like it would be perfectly symmetrical motion if he had written, let's see, but he wrote, that would be symmetrical. This is not symmetrical, but it's pretty close. Both of them have outside come to the inside thumb and come back out to the pinky. And so if you can do a circle that sort of goes, how do I say this? Over and then under on the way out. So it's over in, then sort of coming to under here and coming under out. So I guess another way to say that is that the wrists are high and then they become low. But it's not really the wrists that are driving this. It's actually the elbows that are driving it. Or really, ideally, it's like it's happening in the shoulder blades, which is why you need to have your arms in your sockets. Anyway, I need to work on that, as you can hear. But so those are a couple of issues. Another thing that I was telling her that I don't think I've told you before is there's a little Alexander technique trick about sitting up straight where you find the hair that's exactly in the middle of your head, like in the middle of the top of your head. And you imagine hanging that hair from the ceiling and then hanging your head from the hair and your neck from your head and your torso from your neck all the way down to your butt on the piano bench. And it really makes you sit up straight in a beautiful aligned way that's not like, you know, sit up straight like a soldier, but that just is everything sort of stacked nicely on top of everything else. But, you know, when we think about stacking everything on top of each other, that's sort of down oriented. But when we think about hanging up from the ceiling, there's a nice lift to that. So what I told my student that I'm going to tell myself for when I work on this piece is shoulders where they live, arm circles that are symmetrical, And especially in the left hand, it's sort of easier to do them in the right hand than the left hand. So have the right hand teach the left hand to do arm circles and hang your hair from the ceiling. So those are three things that I think that are going to help this piece a lot. And I don't think I've talked to you a lot about this piece yet, but he wrote, like literally wrote big notes and small notes. So the big notes are these. Oops, sorry, this one. And then there's, of course, all these little noodly bits in between. So one of the big tricks is to make sure that we hear the big notes as really being big and everything else being small, instead of lots of a million giant, huge notes, right? We don't want the noodles to take over. Anyway, this is what we want instead. And like I said, I haven't really worked on this at all, so I just don't have it. I don't have it making this sort of perfect, ethereal, gorgeous cloud of sound that it's supposed to make, but that's what I'm going to go for. Anyway, so that's a few thoughts on 25 number one, and as you can tell, teaching the lesson on it made me think, ooh, I really want to practice this. So that's good. I really want to practice it this week. So 25 number three is the one that I've been sort of struggling with lately, as you know, this one. And I have a couple of thoughts about it. This is where my fourth finger on my left hand really comes in handy, because that note, right? But actually, here is a little teeny epiphany that I had. I know I keep saying that I have epiphanies about this piece and I still can't play the damn thing, but I, you know, teeny epiphany of the day about 25 number three. You know, I've been thinking about putting together a presentation maybe for MTNA in a year or so about tricks for the small hand for the Chopin etudes. And one of the things that I think I'm definitely going to include in that is be really liberal with using four instead of three when you're making fingering choices. And so I was thinking about that, and then I realized, you know, I'm not actually giving myself permission to use four everywhere I want to in this piece, and that's just stupid. I should just let myself do it. So it says to use three here. So three here and three here. So that those, it's, there's a little bit of symmetry here too, right? It's kind of the same as this, but instead of it being a whole circular motion, it's just part of the circle. Anyway, a lot of these places in this piece, it, for me, the left hand becomes quite tricky, as I may have been complaining about a lot. And I need to just go ahead and suck it up and use four. Like, there are a lot of places where, for example, you've heard me play this a bunch now if you've been listening, but so I tend to play pretty fine here, beginning, right? Fine, fine. And then I have this like panic attack freak out here, and it just turns into this awful moment, and then I'm fine. So let me play it without talking so much, but that's kind of usually what happens. So that wasn't as bad, but it still is a little awkward. So you can feel how it goes, yum bum 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 blah blah yum bum bum, right? Like, it just doesn't quite work. So if I actually do, at the scary part, if I let myself use four here instead of three, I think that's gonna make my life a lot easier. Oops. So I'm going to go through this and really, really think about where it would be helpful and a relief to use four. You know, it's one of those things that if a student of mine were working on it, I would have already said, oh, use four there, because obviously you're having trouble using three. And I feel a little bit silly that I've taken this long to get to the point of giving myself permission in that way. But I am going to give myself permission to use four instead of three. Another thing that I think is going to be really, really helpful is to practice the left hand this way, instead of as written, which is this. So what I'm doing is I'm leaving out this bottom note. So instead of this, I'm going to practice this. Because this, I can feel the turning. It feels great, actually. It's really nice. I kind of wish you'd written it this way, actually. Doesn't that sound great? Except for that part that I still can't play. Anyway, I need to actually put this back in. But the point is that when I play just this by itself, my hand goes in exactly the right place. Like, this is a really comfortable place, and then I turn to here, and then I turn to here, and it all feels great. But when I'm here, I get into this sort of awkward placement, because this is a little awkward. Like, it wouldn't be if it were just by itself, but since I'm about to move it. Anyway, I have practiced this way a little bit on this, and I can see that it's going to be really important and useful to do that. So I'm going to use four, and I'm going to do some practicing just leaving out that first note altogether. I think that's going to help. So those are my two kind of goals for this piece for this week. 25 number six I've started playing around with. This is the thirds, right? This one. And so I was making some pretty careful choices. And then this week I didn't really make careful choices, mostly. Here, oh well, that you know what? Here I've made a choice, but I'm not going to bug you with every little detail. But you can hear that it's not quite in there yet. So I have to admit that because this piece is so gorgeous, oops, I'm not going to make you listen to me play through the whole thing because I can't do it yet, as you can hear. But the piece is so gorgeous that it's just really, really tempting to play through it with all of my old habits, which aren't necessarily bad habits. I've worked on this in high school, and I think a lot of what I did then was fine, actually. But I want to make sure that I really make decisions and I'm thoughtful about everything in this piece instead of just kind of haphazardly playing it and learning it and just playing it for fun. I know. God forbid I play for fun, right? That was a joke. Anyway, what I need to do, this is totally one of those eat your vegetables kind of thing, but I really need to do it once I've made all of my fingering choices, which I have not done yet, is I'm going to need to practice this way. So it's doubled thirds, right? So I'm going to need to do both notes, the top note, the top, both notes, the top note, both notes, the top note, both notes, the top note. I can't say it. It's easier to do it than say it. And then both notes, the top note, sorry, both notes, the bottom note, both notes, the bottom, both notes, the bottom, both, the bottom. And then first, the bottom note, both, the bottom note, both, the bottom note, both, the bottom note, both. That wasn't quite right. And then the top notes, I'm not looking at the music. I can't do this without looking at the music. Anyway, and then top, both, top, both, top, both, top, both, top, both. Anyway, so basically you're doing all the different permutations of this. And you can hear that it gets a little rough up there, which if I practice it and am smart about it, it'll be fine. So that, I don't claim that that's going to be like the most exciting practicing in the world, but I know that if I do it, it will make me better able to play it. And I think I have to really think about having better be the goal instead of having perfect be the goal. Especially with something like this that I've played before pretty well, I think, I don't remember exactly, but that I certainly have heard a lot and that I, you know, have really high expectations of how I want these to go. And it can sometimes be frustrating not to be able to just play them right off the bat the way I want them to sound. So I have to remember better is the goal, not perfect. And I think that exact wording came from Burton Kaplan. I was just looking at his practice book again recently. So what I'm going to do, and I may not get to this in the next couple of weeks because it's the holidays and things are a little nuts, but what I know is in my future with this piece is both the top, both the top, both the top, both the top, both the bottom, both the bottom, the top, both the top, both, the bottom, both the bottom, both the bottom, both the bottom, both. For this. And I need to do that through the whole piece. So I will do that, although I might not do it over the next couple of weeks, but hopefully I will. So then 25 number 11, I've been doing just little bits at a time. That's, of course, this one. Honestly, a lot of times I'll play that much and then play another page or so and then go, oh, I'm going to do something else because I'm not really working on this very much. I'm mostly just playing it rather than practicing it. Something I'm thinking about with this piece, and again, this may not be something I get to this week, but something that really needs to happen along with all the usual, you know, group practice and this kind of thing. is I need to put in really clear impulses in both my left and right hands so that both hands are together. Now, I know there's a whole big thing about how Chopin rubato, sometimes you don't have the hands together. And I think that's a decision that I can maybe make later. But for now, I can feel that the left hand is getting out of control and it's not quite landing where it needs to with the right hand. Let me just see if I can show you that. I'll play the beginning and just sort of, I'll play it loud and really try and perform the first page or so for you. Oh my God, that was a disaster. But did you hear how the beat started out and it was just fine together and then the left hand got kind of a little out of control? And you might have noticed that that's when the notes went all haywire too. So let me try to put clearer beats in and see if this is better. And I haven't practiced it a lot yet, so I need to really put them in. But let me see what happens if I just really focus on it. Okay, well, I still had a couple of note monstrosities that I need to fix, but the whole feeling of it was much more, I gotta use the word in control, the words in control, though that's not exactly the image I love, but in control in sort of the way that lets you have freedom too, instead of it taking control of me. So it's going to be really important to make sure that I'm feeling the rhythm with my whole torso and not just sort of thinking about the beats. So if I can really physicalize the rhythm in this piece, that's going to help. And that's actually something I can practice while I'm just kind of playing through in the fairly lame way that I've been doing lately, in my sort of holiday practice mode. So that's mostly what I've been working on with the Chopin. You know, I've started dusting off the Rhapsody in Blue because I'm going to play it in April. I may play some of that for you one of these days. I'm not quite ready to play any of it for you yet. And you might not feel like hearing it because this is a Chopin podcast. But I did want to tell you that I have also been, you know, thinking about the whole play versus practice idea from last week. I've been practicing these 2-5-1 chords and these little chord progressions, or not chord progressions, just little scale patterns that kind of go with the 2-5-1 chords. And they're so fun. Oh my gosh, they're so fun. And I kind of feel like I'm getting away with something when I practice them. Like, let's see. Oops, I don't usually do them this fast. Ah! Some of them get a little tricky. Oops. Anyway, I've been making my little 10-minute at a time checklist practice schedules, but I have to admit that there's been a couple days this week when my 10 minutes has been up with that, I just don't want to move on to the next thing, and I actually have spent half an hour working on that kind of thing. I mean, there's other patterns besides just that, but it's such a different way of learning, and it's just because there's the pattern written out in C major, and then you figure it out yourself for all the other keys. Not to mention that this is a D chord, even though there's no D in it at all. This is a D. This is a G chord. This is a C chord. What I just did when I played that is I took my right hand way down and played it. So this is my right hand. And this is my left hand. So together it's... So just getting used to think of this, which normally I would think of as being an F major 7 chord, because it's F, A, C, E, as being a D chord. It's fun and feels kind of transgressive. Not totally transgressive, but I'm enjoying playing around with that. So I think with that in mind, I'm going to do a little bit of an improv for you, and this will be the last thing I'll do. So if you absolutely don't want to hear it, and who could blame you, you can just stop listening and be done with it. I think this will probably be just sort of a blues, because that's about all I can handle as far as chords go for now. Except one other thing. Oh, one tiny little other thing. I've also been working on the blues scale. And actually, when you do this in C, it's actually a really, really nice scale to practice rotation. And of course, rotation has been one of the big, 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 big issues I've been thinking about in these etudes, right? Like, I feel like it's been having me completely take apart my technique and put it back together. So one of the things that's been fun is practicing this blues scale in different keys. And thinking about the rotations, that one I just did was awful. That was B flat. Here's F. So I think maybe if I can practice these blues scales a little bit and be really clear about my rotation and like really make sure that they're matching the technique that I want, that it will, you know, everybody wins. Like my technique gets better and I learn the scales and it feels like good practice. So even though I feel like I'm sort of getting away with something, practicing my little blues moments and my little blues scales and my little 2-5-1 progressions, I think that the overall picture is to make me a better musician, right? Anyway, let me do a quick improv for you, and we'll just sort of see how it goes. Ah, oops, I'm not supposed to yell during my improv. Oh, I'm smashing my head down on the keyboard. That's a G chord, and what I want is an F chord. Okay, so that didn't work at all. What I was trying to do was a thing with where the right hand was kind of in B flat and the left hand was kind of an F, and that was silly. That was like thinking too hard and just making it sound like wrong notes instead of like it was an interesting thing. Oh well, lots to learn about that. Anyway, so that was let's call it not a failed improvisation. Let's call it an improvisation that shows great scope for improvement. anyway, I'm not going to do podcast next week because of the holidays. So I hope that whatever holiday you're celebrating, you have a wonderful time and think wonderful things about music or have a nice break from music if that's what you need. And I hope you're with people if you want to be with people and by yourself if you want to be by yourself and that you have a wonderful time. I'll be back with you in a couple of weeks and I may not have a ton of practice to report, but I'll at least let you know how that went. And that is it. You can follow me on Twitter at Jocelyn Swigger. You can find out more about me and this project at playitagainswig.com. And thank you so much for being my practice buddy. Dab, 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 dab